I've looked at it quickly, but I certainly haven't had time to review it. Have other people had time?
Yeah, I sent a bunch of editorial comments that maybe
we
missed.
But those, you already sent it some time ago, no? Or did you send something else? Cause...
Yeah, but they're all in this draft now.
Okay. No.
So I think there are one or two small comments that I have, and then I think that Martin's annex of data merits maybe some comment or at least some approval. But I think it looks pretty clean right now.
Okay, because I believe that we have to be at a point where sort of everyone has read through it and we deal with everyone's issues so then we can call it done and ready to send on. And I just don't know if we're at that point.
I think we're very close to that point. I for one, haven't had a chance to really read the detailed redraft from Marika. I've just been focused on the new COB stuff.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I meant. I think everyone believes that the document is fairly close from everything I've seen and listening to the last meeting I wasn't on. It's just that I don't know if I'm quite ready to do it. And then, of course, there's the new annex that might be a good thing to have people talk through, walk through.
Avery, would you like me to do the roll call? I believe the recording is started.
Yeah, we don't... Okay,
operator?
Certainly. Yes.
Operator?
Yes,
I thought she
it's
said
recording.
The recording is started?
Yes, we're recording, yes.
Thank you. So we have Jonathan Sever, Martin Hall, David Piscitello, Rod Rasmussen, Greg Aaron, Adam Palmer, Mike Rodenbach, James Bledel, and Avery Doria on the call. And for staff, Marika Koenig and myself, Glenn, and Liz Gaster cannot be with us. She's got a conflict today.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. So, yeah, I mean, at the moment, I see that's pretty much where we're at, is just basically doing a last walkthrough to make sure that document is fine, but I don't see how we could do that until everyone has had the chance to sort of read through it and make sure that they're comfortable with it.
I have one question.
Sure.
How about the executive summary? Is that something that staff will put together, or is that something that we also need to produce?
I think that's something that would be best done by staff and then reviewed by us.
Yes, my idea would be, indeed, I was waiting to see if there were further comments on, you know, the different parts in the report before writing that, but I think Randy read it at the stage where we probably can put that together and put that as well out for review.
Yeah, my feeling is that if we have comments now, they're going to be more of the smaller, specific type and not of... that there would be a comment that would be so large that it would reflect in something so small as the executive summary would actually surprise me at this point. I don't know how others feel about that statement.
I did notice that Mike just sent out a new proposed Chapter 6 section, so that might, I don't know, I noticed that there's no track changes, so I'm not really sure how much has changed in that.
I have it with the changes tracked in the report. I can try to send that around with it shows that. Sorry, it got lost. Copying it over. We do that. But basically, I just kind of deleted some of it, shortened it up a little bit, but kept the gist of it intact.
Okay, so it was really just a wordsmithing as opposed to a contentful change?
Well, there were some sentences were deleted. I'm sorry, I meant to conclude both versions and... if I can do that here.
And Mike, I have another question for you. In an earlier email, you mentioned something as well about issues you had with Section 5.10 and that you would circulate some language, but I don't know if that has been resolved by the current draft or...
I think that was really was Section 6. I think it became renumbered at some point. My understanding. I mean, is that totally wrong, Marika?
I think it didn't get renumbered, but maybe there was confusion over the numbers. That's possible.
Yeah, I think I was confused with the numbers.
I just want to make sure that, you know, you're happy with as it stands now, and, you know, we won't have any big changes again coming up.
Well, thanks. No, it's the challenges section 6 that I had the problem with for a while. I know you've been reminding me to do this. I'm sorry, I just got it done this morning. I can't figure out how to copy and paste just the text, but actually showing the changes I made. I guess I have to send the whole report.
Well, or you delete all the rest. You basically delete all the rest of the report and just leave the fact changes section.
Okay,
that should do the trick as well.
Thank you.
So yeah, because what I would propose doing is once we have. We seem like we're really close to having a final pass, a final, it could be called the final draft of the document, that then we can just basically walk through each and every person's issues that are still there and work them out at that time. I just don't think we're there yet. And I don't know if we have any other content that needs to be discussed. Perhaps if Mike, you were sending out your changes now, people could look at that and just see how they felt about the deleted lines. But even that's difficult at this point.
In the meantime, Avi, there are two sections on page 19 and one on page 37 that are still in track changes that were basically added between the last conference call and this one that I think both of them are more a rewording and not real substantial changes, but as we're on the call now, people might want to have a look at those and make sure that they're fine with those.
Okay, let me get to that.
The first one's page 19.
I need to get the document. Been having network problems all day.
Okay,
the
red
much network problems with new computer. Which version of the document is this one at the moment, the 8th December? Or is there a later version?
12 December, I think, isn't it?
Just checking.
I don't see anything later than the 8th December. Is that correct? There's multiple versions. I just want to make sure I've got the right one. Is it the 8th December or is there a later one?
The 8th December is the last one.
Right. Okay, great, thanks. Page 17?
19,
thank you. Sorry to be so unprepared. Okay. So basically, this is in the Section 5.2, who would benefit from cessation of the practice and who would be harmed. Like the text under who is harmed by flash flux techniques when used in support of attack networks. And these are additional lines. Is the parties who benefit from the cessation of the practice of fast flux attacks are the same parties who are harmed when fast flux is used in support of attack networks. The working group thus focuses its attention on identifying the harm as follows. I don't assume there's any issue with that, is there? Okay, then that could probably be made final. Where's the next one?
Page 37.
37, thank you. Okay, here we have a deletion and some other checks. The working group would like to point out that a number of registries, including generic sponsored and country code TLDs, currently have policies that might serve as examples of how TLDs can take individual action in the area of domain abuse. Various TLDs are differently situated and have different needs and approaches in this area. And this is replacing text about affiliates, etc. Is that an acceptable change to everyone? So you guys went through this one last time, right? And this is just now confirming it? Is that correct?
No, this one was added in the meantime.
Okay, thank you. So is there any issue with that substitution?
I sort of hate to see the loss of the pointer to the specific affiliates policy. I think it really is worth calling out specifically, even if only as a footnote.
Yeah, in fact, at one point I think we had talked about, I don't think we'd want to have that whole deleted section as a footnote. I think that that would be too much. You know, are people... Do people find having a footnote acceptable?
This is Greg. I think on our last call, we talked about it a little bit, and I'll reiterate what I said then, which is that there are a lot of registries out there that have various kinds of language that address this kind of issue. And then most, if not all, registrars in their agreements also have language that addresses these kinds of abuse problems. So I wasn't comfortable having one company called out, although Joe, I think Joe meant it certainly as a compliment for a registry that was thinking hard about the issue.
I think it's exemplary, in fact.
Thank you. So that's much appreciated, but actually a lot of these perhaps applicable policies have been listed in a recent GNSO issues report about abuse issues, actually, and there's quite a lot. So I think it's more of a general issue, and I don't want to give the impression that just one company needs to be praised when there might be others who are also doing something worthwhile. And I don't want to give the impression that there's only one registry out there, or one registrar that's out there that has applicable language.
Okay, but certainly, and it really depends on how strong the feeling is. It certainly would be possible to, you know, to phrase a footnote that says, "Well, there are many registries and registrars who have, you know." Taken individual action in the area of abuse. One example among many is, and so would that kind of phrasing make a difference to you, or still you'd be uncomfortable with it?
I mean, I'd be happy to work with somebody on some language like that. Sure, I'd be glad to.
Okay, would that work for you? Who would like to see it mentioned in a footnote, and something similar to what I just said? Would that be an acceptable way of approaching it?
It would be, at least for me, and I can also say that if need be, we could also probably find some of those other examples that would be worth mentioning to go ahead and kind of make it be less affiliates-focused, if that would help.
Right. Sure. It could be a few examples are, and then maybe two or three if people have them handy. Is that an acceptable solution to everybody? Is that unacceptable to anyone? Okay, great. So then we could sort of take the wording that I had. Maybe people can find another example or two and cut it in there. Is that okay with you?
This is Marika. Yeah. Can we even make it short and just have a footnote at the end of the first sentence? The working group would like to point out that a number of registries, and then a footnote saying example given, the abuse policy of affiliates, and then some other examples.
I think it would have to say one example among many, or some examples among many, and that way we have avoided making the singular reference even in the footnote. Yeah, we don't need all my wording, perhaps, but as long as we repeat the one among many, or several among many, or a few among many are. you know, some examples among many can be found, or something like that, just so that we're dealing with the issue of singular mention. Okay, and we'll be able to look at that again when we have the whole final draft to look at. Any other issues on this particular spot? Okay. The next one would be at...
No, these are the only two.
Okay, those are the only two. Then we have basically Mike's additions. Mike, have you succeeded in sending around your... Or were you going to do that at another time?
No, it's gone from my outbox, but I haven't...
It's gone from your outbox. Let's see if it's made it to my inbox. Oh, I see it made it to my inbox.
Oh,
it made it to other people's inboxes.
I received it as well.
If enough people have received it, we could go through it now, so yeah, that it's had some discussion before the hopefully final draft comes out.
I have it.
Okay, I'm opening it up at the moment. So if everybody takes a chance to look at it.
There's not a track changes or anything for it, right?
There is a second version with the track changes.
Yeah, that's the one that was just sent out. Should, as I said, it arrived March 17 on mine, so at the hour about 17 for wherever a person is. And where do we look, Mike? What page are we at in terms of the changes?
Well, it's section 6. So
I see. You basically crossed out everything. It's all deleted except for...
Oh?
Yeah, I see. Section 6. Anybody got a page? Or a line number.
Oh, I see. God, it did get the whole report.
Yeah, it got the whole report. So just if someone, but if we could find, okay, I'm looking for
about page 38.
Okay, great. That helps bunches.
Page.
I only got 4 pages.
I know. It depends on how you look at it, what view you're looking at it in Word. I think that's causing some confusion.
If you're looking at track changes, you get 4 pages, and Mike's comments start at page 3. At least that's in Word for the Mac.
Okay. Yeah. I live in open office, so I got a whole lot more.
I did too. If I look at it in a certain view in Word, I get the whole thing.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
That's it. I only had the part I wanted.
Okay, well, that's okay. I can get to the right page, and then that'll be, then it won't matter.
Is it page? I can't even tell what page it is. It just says page 2.
Okay, it's section which number?
6.
Section 6, okay, 5, 9, 5, 10.
There you go.
Hey, Mike?
Yes.
On those that are insane and looking at it totally, it's on page 41. So if you happen to be in open office, it shows all of it.
Is it fair to summarize your changes as sort of removing the kind of chronology of events in the working group and focusing on, yeah, on the document at hand?
That's what it looks like.
Definitely part of it. I really just wanted to take out some of the stuff that I didn't think there was actually broad agreement on in the group. I think that there was a big argument about some of this stuff early on, and that's how this text resulted from the former chair. And obviously events have passed that by, I think, in a lot of ways. So I just tried to take out some of the language that I thought was very critical of the working group.
And the folks that have the doc from Word, do you still have the same line numbers? Does it still start at 1176?
My line numbers have disappeared altogether from this document.
I have line numbers, but they're just 1 to 53.
Okay, so that won't help. Okay, then we probably should just walk through it change by change. The first change I have is a deletion of the working group quickly concluded that to it was argued by some member of the working group that.
This is Greg. This is kind of before your time, Audrey, but there's a lot of background on the threads. Yeah, I don't know if it quickly concluded, but I think that there is a lot of work on the definitions. And I think that there is a broad realization that that needed a lot of work.
That's still there in the next sentence.
Yeah.
Right. So do you object to that change there?
I don't know if there were any members of the working group who found the original charter definitions to be adequate, though. Which is what this revised language implies.
I see. Well, one could make the ambiguity a little less apparent if need be by just saying it was argued in the working group that this definition, and that could still allow for there to have been someone who thought it was a fine definition and yet not bring it out quite as boldly as this is. Does that make a difference to anyone? It was just argued in the working group that this definition lacked the detail. Would that be okay?
Seems reasonable, I think.
Is that okay with you, Mike?
Yes, thanks.
Okay. Then moving down to the next change I see. It was a way for an attacker, and then this is an insertion, to avoid detection and then frustrate the response to the attack. Perhaps I needed to read the whole sentence. That is, FastBlock servers do prolong the period of time during which the attack continues to be effective before the domain is taken down by the, in quotes, good guy.
If you missed the typo there, servers, it should be served.
Oh, okay, thank you. I read the servers. Okay, it is not an attack itself. It is a way for the attacker to avoid detection and then frustrate the response to the attack. Is that an acceptable change? Okay. Then in the next paragraph, the last two sentences are removed. However, the members do not agree as to whether ICANN is the best organization to conduct this activity. This point is expanded on in the next section of the report. And those two sentences were deleted.
Because we're talking about it in the next section, which I did change pretty dramatically, but...
Yeah, I see. Does anybody object to removing those sentences, and with it, what comes, or... Okay, well then let's keep looking down and maybe we'll come back to these if we need to. Then the next paragraph is left alone. Then the following paragraph is removed. The question was asked whether a PDP was started prematurely. This is the historical sentence. The March 2008 issues report had already recommended that further fact-finding and research would be helpful in order to reform the community deliberation. Yes?
I would like that to remain in the document somewhere, because it's a...
Which point?
That paragraph about whether it was started prematurely, because the question was asked. Whether it goes where it is or where it goes, if it goes in Section B, you know, that's up for discussion. But that is a point that... a number of constituencies raised during the process.
Yeah, and it's certainly one that has affected behavior in the council since then in terms of looking at how we start things, but excuse me. But it doesn't necessarily fit in this section, I guess. I mean, in some ways it is appropriate. It is talking about the challenges of the group itself, challenges faced by the group.
It might make sense to stay there because the next section is about the charter itself.
Yeah.
That's fine. Leave it there. If you're comfortable with the changes in the next section, then I'm fine with leaving that there above the next.
Okay, well, let's look at the next section then. So, okay, then we have, we change, or the suggested change, misconception about the scope of a PDP and remit of ICANN to issues with the charter, which is basically a more neutral statement. Is that a fine change?
Actually, I've really tried to delete stuff in here about what's within and without of ICANN's remit, because it's just not within this working group's remit to be talking about that.
Okay.
Well, is it or is it not?
I tend to think that those determinations tend to get made by legal counsel. So the working group can certainly ask the question of the GNSO counsel, that can ask the question of legal counsel, but certainly the working group doesn't decide.
Right.
What's within the remit and what's
not.
It can raise a question about.
We raise the question as we learn more about the issue, and then the determination is made later by another body. So,
bad precedent for working groups to be challenging, to have members of working group, I should say, disrupting the working group by challenging the working group's remit and charter. You know, once the council decides to form a working group, that should not be subject to further challenge from within the working group.
That's not what we're saying, though, is it?
Yeah, and actually, I'm not sure that I would necessarily. I mean, in almost all of the charters, and certainly there's the notion that once a working group starts working with a charter and starts looking at it practically, it can certainly have questions as to the charter and can even make recommendations. It's the council that needs to then answer these things, and the working group can't on its own change its charter, certainly, but certainly to send a question to the council on a particular issue would not seem to me to be inappropriate.
I agree, but at least it would be inappropriate if it's addressing what's within and without of ICANN and the GNSO's scope. That should not be fought at a working group level every single time.
Definitely, I definitely agree with the phrase every single time. But if someone does bring up such an issue and it's not clear to the other members, or even if it does seem clear to the other members, it does seem a way to get rid of such an argument is to, you know, to basically send it on so that legal counsel can look at it and say, what's the problem? Yeah, it's within scope. Go do your work. And certainly we've encountered this in previous task groups and others where one constituency or another would say this work is out of scope. It's sort of in my almost 5 years, or I guess 4.5 now, it's a question that's come up periodically, and almost the only way we've ever had of resolving it is sending it to the council. The council confers with legal counsel. The council comes back and says, nope, within scope, question's over. And at that point, then, it's easy for the chair of the group to say, hey, we checked with council, they checked with council, and it's been defined as in scope, out of issue. So when there's ambiguities with that, I think they have to be handled with that sort of, that way of checking.
Well, I think
the entire group has been delayed to basically re-answer a question that was already answered in the issues report.
Well, let me put it this way. What happened in this working was that there was an issues report that's put together in a very short time period by staff, so there are time pressures. And then there was a decision to go into the PDP. There was a question of whether further fact-finding and research should happen before that or not. What happened is we went into a PDP. And
that's what the council decided to
do. But during the course of a working group like this, what you do is you find out what you're talking about and understand the issue. And it's very natural, perhaps, in those cases to find out that the issue is a little different or a little more complicated than originally anticipated. And that may naturally bring up questions about what's in scope or out, for example. And so it's natural for folks to raise those in the group as a legitimate question and send it back to council, and folks will figure it out whether it's in or not. But, I mean, this, what we're talking about here is partly about an ICANN process where you learn, and things always might not be the way you thought before you started your learning process. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
So it's okay for people to raise the question. This might be a little different than was originally thought. It's okay to raise the question. Is this in scope or out? It's not denying the charter, but it's saying, you know, we've got some things we have to figure out here.
Well, that's what really happened in this situation. Is the charter itself was totally within scope. All we were asking for was information, but it turned out that in trying to answer those questions, there got to be all sorts of extraneous argument that was going on about, you know, what would happen if we answer it this way or that way, where really all the council wanted was the fundamental answers, and then we were going to suggest what the next steps were. Unfortunately, the working group just got outside of its charter early on, I think. But we ended up bringing it back, and we ended up answering all of the questions. So, you know, I really don't think it's appropriate to be stating in here that, you know, the PDP was premature, because that was asked and answered by the council itself when we...
Well, I mean, Chuck said straight out he thought that the PDP was premature.
Who said that?
I think Chuck did, didn't he?
There was, I mean, certainly, as in any issue in the council, there's a divided opinion, but the PDP was approved by the council by the required vote. So, yeah, you're going to find different people, and that's kind of the whole problem we're having with PDPs at the moment in terms of how do we define them so that, I mean, that's the whole GNSO improvement cycle, not the whole, but a large part of it is looking at PDPs and looking at the sort of more complex and more, you know, time issues that how do we really do a PDP these days? And such. So, yeah, there were certainly people that thought it was too early, but there was a sufficient number of people who thought it was the right decision, and so the decision of the council to start a PDP was the decision. And, you know, in a sense, the varying opinions matters less than that. But here, all it says is one could consider, and, I mean, you know, I think it's fair to say that some, at the beginning of this PDP, some considered that it was perhaps premature. That is the truth. It doesn't really matter because the working group was decided, but it is part of the historical fact. Yes, yes.
This is Dave. It seems that there's two issues here. One is, I think that the council's obligation to, you know, to ask people who express a willingness to participate to respect the fact that, you know, that the council has decided to move forward on a PDP, and participation means that you accept the fact that the PDP, you know, PDP process has been put in motion. And I think that at least my perspective is that an initial problem with this working group was that people took the campaign about whether or not the PDP should have been issued into the working group, and that proved disruptive. And and so from my perspective, once the PDP is launched and you express a willingness to participate, you're sort of honor-bound to, you know, to do the work. And I think that that's one of the things that Mike is very sensitive to. If, you know, I don't want to stand, you know, and I'm wondering if that has to be made clear at the council level for future, you know, just future working group composition.
Yeah, no, I definitely do agree with that point.
Yeah, I do too. And I didn't know whether it's, should we mention those kinds of things here, because that would help the council?
Greg, I guess I got a suggestion here. Why don't you and I spend a little time on the phone and hash out some text on this?
Happy to.
Yeah, because, I mean, finding a balanced way, I mean, you're giving some of the challenges that happened in the group, and the history of that is worth having, especially in this time of trying to understand how it is that we do working groups and how it is that we do PDPs. So capturing the history in a fair way is a good thing, I think.
I think Greg and I can do that if we just can spend a little time together.
Okay.
This is James. I'd volunteer to help if you think I can make a difference there.
Sure.
Okay. And this was, yeah.
All right.
I
apologize to Marika especially. I know she's been asking me about this particular section for several weeks now. But, you know, I'd like to get it so it's, to where it's acceptable to everybody. So if, I don't know if Greg and James and I can take it away and come back to the group with some text within the next week or two, then that would be good. I think we can finalize it.
Works for me if it's okay with everyone else. Okay, and I have a feeling that it's probably not going to be all that hard for you guys to do that. Okay, the only other thing we've got is the annex. And when was that sent out? There was a draft 5 sent out yesterday, which I guess is the current place on it now.
Yes, Avery, this is Martin. Oh. That is the current place.
Okay. So I don't know where we're at on that and what we need to discuss on that.
Let me kind of summarize the progress that we've made since the last meeting. So
first of all,
I've taken input from a number of people, and I'd like to thank Dave in particular for helping me kind of get this thing going and on track. I've had input from a number of people, including Joe and Greg, most of which I've tried to fold into this current draft. I've had to balance some of the input with the amount of time that it takes and some of the wrestling, but I hope this is in better shape. At some point, clearly, if we're okay with it, we'd like to start folding this into the master document. But for now, I'd like to see if anybody's got further input or direction they'd like to give me as I kind of wrap this up. The one note I will make is that I've not heard back from Jose at Arbor, so I was hoping to potentially elaborate one of the graphs based on data we at Karmasphere have and include some Arbor comparison. I don't think it's the end of the world if that's not in there, but I haven't heard from Jose, so I don't know where things stand with him.
Okay, thanks. How many people have had a chance to work their way through this? Because they'd be the ones most reasonable to comment at this point.
This is Joe. I have.
Okay. So, where are you at on it?
I think it's in pretty good shape. The things that are kind of left are little nitpicky things that just may not be possible depending upon what the graphic tool does. For example, on the log graphs, I really appreciate you putting them in log format. The only thing that I would love to see would be to have the legends have sort of more sane values. So on the side, it kind of picks weird, random sort of values like 1191 and 203 or 208, whatever. I don't know if you can force that to like 1,000, 10,000, that kind of thing.
Joe, I'm sort of chuckling. I was muted. I'm chuckling because I was ready to throw Excel out of the window, and then I thought, I'll try numbers. So I tried numbers, and I've gained some things and lost others, which included control over those values that you're referring to.
Okay. Well, it really has come a tremendous way. You've done a nice job, so.
Yeah, it does look like a formidable piece of work that will be quite useful. Anyone else? And I've only done looking at it. I haven't read it and applied any intelligence to trying to understand it. Have others read and had comments on it?
This is Greg. I've read it. A tremendous amount of work went into it, so thanks to Martin and to Jose. Thought it looked pretty good. Understand the time constraints you're under, so I don't have.
Okay, great. So I guess
I had a chance to read it too, and you know, to the extent I understand it, it's great work. I did hone in on Joe's question about it, though, on the discrepancies in the data, and I figure that plenty of other folks would hone in on that as well, so it might warrant a little bit of an explanation.
In terms of the difference in the numbers of domains detected, that sort of thing?
Yes.
I think this was the question of how the two entities do their detection, because it leads to different. Like one found more in .cn, for example, than the other. I guess it has to do with how your systems are set up or what you're looking for.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Sorry. So I was just going to make a couple of observations. One is that we don't always understand where spikes come from. So we see them and we look into them, and when it's not always clear to us sort of why a spike's occurring. I imagine that what ARBA do, similar to KarmaSphere, is, you know, you basically are utilizing various data input sources, and those input sources are causing you to sort of trigger sort of examination heuristics to go look at domains and associated identities, especially the IP addresses. So we don't always have definitive answers on sort of why a spike occurs. That's the first point I would make. And that's true for the China domains, for example. We've looked into that. We're not quite sure yet why that's occurred. And if we did know, then we'd certainly look to elaborate. The second thing I will say is I think the heuristics that ARBA utilize and that we use are different. I'm not at liberty yet to really get into detail on those heuristics and talk about it, probably for a whole number of reasons. So I would resist any request to start explaining that within this document.
Okay. So,
I mean, I have a sympathy for Mike's, you know, concern, and I think would it be sufficient to simply say that if the differences, relate to the to exactly what Martin has said, that the heuristics and the techniques used to track and monitor?
Yeah, I mean, if I understood what Mike was asking, he was just asking that there be some note there on telling people why it was the way it was, and not necessarily. And I don't know that needs to get into detail. Would that be okay, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. It can be quite vague. Just something like, discrepancies in the number of domains detected by the two sources can generally be explained by their different detection methods, you know? Something like that.
Yeah, that...
I'm sorry. Mike, I'm happy to make that change. I'd sort of... I guess implied that early on by talking about different techniques, but maybe it needs to be called out closer to where the data, is not so similar that it causes people to scratch their head.
Yeah, exactly.
Could even be useful right. A footnote or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm happy to take that and sort of make that more explicit, closer to where the data, it doesn't necessarily contradict, but it's different.
So how soon do you think this would be ready to hook into that final draft I'm hoping we have soon?
Well, unless there's any input missing here, it sounds like there's only one minor change that I would make.
Okay, great.
And then I'm assuming what I would do is send this that I've been working on in Word format based on the template of the master document to Marika to incorporate.
Is that okay with you, Marika?
Yep, that works for me.
Okay.
So let me turn this around quickly, Marika, and I'll get it to you.
Perfect.
Okay, thank you.
And in the meantime, I can work as well on executive summary.
Okay, executive summary, and then you're getting a revised Section 6 within, I guess, another week or two, so that hopefully we can have a meeting coming at the beginning of January, where hopefully we have an assembled final draft that we can then just, well, I guess people will need at least a week to read a final draft before we meet to discuss it and make sure that there's nothing in there that anyone is violently against, so that then we can take the next steps.
I had one very small, I think it's very small, question on line 1197, which is on page 41.
Let's go to 1197, you said?
Yeah. But one of the things that this sort of, I think Martin's annex provides, in my mind, you know, sufficient and compelling data, that saying that we have a lack of data,
yeah,
overtaken by events. You know, I'm willing to concede that maybe we still have a lack of you know, uniform understanding. But I honestly think that we, you know, it would be very hard for us to provide that much more data that would illustrate the scale and scope of the problem beyond what, you know, what Martin has done. And I think that we would simply have, you know, multiple views of relatively the same, you know, same kinds of data, and we would still see approximately the same spikes and the same trends, because these are being collected by a lot of different organizations beyond Arbor and beyond Martin's group, and you know, we're all seeing, you know, the November 1st, you know, spikes and drops as a, you know, as a consequence of suspending McColo's.com and things like that. So I hope that, you know, that we have enough data to not be questioning our own results at this point.
Yeah, well, I think that's the section that a few people are going to work together on resection, because that's in that Section 6. So I guess it's good that you pointed out that line, and perhaps they can look at that and coming with something that sort of expresses what you just said, if others agree with it.
Okay, thanks.
Does that make sense to you guys that are working on rewriting this? Or rewordsmithing it, I should say. Mike and Carl?
I'm sorry, Aubrey, I was just distracted by my child.
Okay, the point that was just being made, unless it was Dave, right, basically is one of that line, the lack of data and lack of understanding of the full scope of fast flux also made discussions difficult. Is basically in the few pages that you guys are going to be wordsmithing.
Yes.
And so basically, sort of to mitigate that and sort of say, well, it's, you know, perhaps it's not common understanding, and but there is data and it is being worked on, and it's almost like it's a work in motion, and things are moving from that point. So I was looking for you to sort of consider something in the writing of that sentence.
Got it.
Okay. Anything else at this point? So when do we think it's reasonable for a, and this is really Marika and others contributing pieces, to try and have a assembled draft for review by this group together, with people taking adequate time off for holidays and things like that.
So when would our next meeting be? The 9th?
I suppose that would be, yes. That would be the Friday after. And if we're going to have anything to talk about, though, people have to have had time to read.
Right.
And
well,
it doesn't, yeah.
Based on, Greg, you're still on the call. I think from what James emailed just down to me and you, sounds like we could do our part of this early next week if you're available, Greg.
I'm available on Monday, only then I'm on vacation.
Perfect. So I think we could do it on Monday and get it at least, you know, then we can swap drafts ourselves and get it to the group, I'm sure, by January 5th anyway, yeah?
But that's just your section, correct?
Correct. Well, there's just our section and then a change to the data annex, right?
Right. Yeah, well, I'm hoping, as I said, though, if you're going to be sending that out and then we're going to go through it, it won't actually be included in sort of a final draft for review in that week. It wouldn't be reviewed and then until the following week.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we say that everyone who wants text has to have it in and changes, just call a deadline. Changes, suggested changes have to be in by the 12th, and we'll go through them on the 16th and finalize this thing.
I don't know if that gives Marika enough time to assemble and people to read.
Okay.
From my point of view, it would give enough time to assemble that people get, you know, if we make the deadline maybe then the 9th to get any
edits. Make the deadline the 9th, right.
And I can get, you know, depending on how many edits there are, I should be able to get it out either the 9th or otherwise the 12th.
The 12th. And then if we meet the 16th, then people have had 4 days to read.
Is that enough?
Seems like we're not going to have that many changes, you know. We're pretty much down to just clarifying changes other than the Section 6.
Right. Yeah. But then still, I think people are going to want to do a read-through, and also Marika is talking about creating the executive summary.
Yeah.
And one thing I would like to ask as well, I think Martin made that point as well, that, you know, now we have the data, it might be worth as well, like when reading through the document, if people want to point to, you know, different sections or chapters or annexes that clarify some of the points, that will be really helpful, I think, as well. That's one of the points as well that people might want to think about when reading through the document.
Yeah. Sounds good. So that means we don't have a meeting on the 9th, correct? And we plan the next meeting for the 16th? But that everybody's working in the interim on getting bits and pieces done. And Marika, I can work with you if you want, or if you need someone on the executive summary to just pass things back and forth. No need, but if you want to, I can help.
I can make a first draft and you can have a look to make sure I didn't leave anything out. And then I'm happy as well to circulate that first on the mailing list, so you know people can make comments like that as well.
That's a good idea.
Separated,
yeah.
So I should be able to do, you know, from the week of the 5th without any problems.
Okay, fantastic.
So we won't have a meeting on the 9th, but we will have an almost final document to review by the 9th.
Almost final, but actually it'll all come together on the 12th.
At the latest on the 12th. It depends a bit on how late people are with submitting their final changes
and
how many changes there are.
The deadline for submitting any changes is the 9th.
Yes.
And there'll have been stuff going ongoing on the list during that week. People will have sent in their stuff so it can be discussed. But the deadline for submitting changes for the final, hopefully, I know I keep saying final, and the first final, and then there's the final final. But anyway, for the final draft is the 9th.
Okay, I get it. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else for today? Okay. Well, again, apologies for being late. Thank you all, and have a really good holiday, and get some rest and whatever else, some cheer, and talk to you all next year.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Okay.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.